There are many reasons why we love His church. The song we just sang is one of those reasons. I have always been fond of the chorus. I know sometimes we dog on that song because it's not a get up and go kind of song. It's a reflective kind of song. But think about this as representative of who we are. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. And sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, and sometimes we dream together. Think about the power of a group of people who can get together and dream of how it will be when we all get together, God's family. I need to confess to you, there's another song that's been in my head this week as I've been contemplating the title of today's sermon. And you already know what that is, at least those of you who are familiar with Sister Sledge, who performed a song in 1979 called We Are Family. And they got all their sisters and them. All right, and so that's the way that song goes. But our anthem, God's Family, is an anthem that is far greater than anything the Sister Sledge or anybody else could ever begin to think about. Because we are part of a family. You know, back in the Old Testament, God's covenant was made with a literal family. God looked at Abraham and he said, I'm going to bless your descendants. In fact, Genesis 15 verse 5, they're going to be innumerable, like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the seashore. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Abraham was 160 years old when his twin grandsons, Jacob and Esau, were born, and 15 years later, Abraham died. At the point that Abraham died, that physical family was not very large, but God had made a covenant with that people. And yes, sure, there would be more descendants. In fact, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's name changed to Israel, and the children of Israel, yes, were great in number, and yet when you compared them to the other nations, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, still describes them as the fewest of all peoples. Abraham died with a small family, but he died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and he was assured of them, Hebrews 11 and verse 13. He was looking forward to something that was even better. We see something even better when we come to the time of Jesus. Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Jesus was a part of the family of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. Sure, Jesus could trace his lineage as all Hebrew peoples could. And yet, when that fellow comes up to Jesus and says, hey, your family members want to talk to you, Matthew 12, 46 through 50, Jesus says, family? Who is my family? And listen, by saying this, Jesus wasn't violating the command to honor father and mother. Jesus didn't mean that as a slight against Mary and Joseph or really against his brothers and sisters. What he's trying to do is challenge the hearers, and he does so in at least three ways. First, I see that Jesus places a high value on spiritual family. And then I see that Jesus expands the perceived boundaries of this family to include anyone who will be obedient to, righteous to God, turning toward his disciples, he says, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. And along the way, Jesus establishes his own centrality to this family. See, what makes this family a family is our united kinship to Jesus. This is my family, he says. These are my mother and my brothers and my sister. This all revolves around him. But wait, how do we connect the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with what it is that Jesus is saying now in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50? How could it be possible that we could get together this morning? And even though some of us are just meeting each other for the very first time, how could it be that we can get together and sing an anthem like this? We're part of a family? Galatians chapter 3 describes the whole process. This has been God's plan all along. Verse 24, the law, well, that's that old covenant that God made with Abraham. And that law, given through Moses and the prophets, was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. And now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Did you get that? We get to be sons, and by extension, daughters of God in Christ Jesus. And look at how. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, have put on Christ. And in this family, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male and female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Do you see the connection? God started with a physical family, really for the purpose, according to Galatians 3, of seeing us through to Jesus. And now in Jesus, we, as those who are obedient to the will of His Father, can be His brothers and sisters. A family like this unites us in a wonderful way. And challenges us to see not just conceptually that we're family, but in a concrete way, not abstract, but right here, literally in front of us, to realize that though we're in a room of great size and we're among an assembly right now of great size, and yet we are connected to each other in Christ. And we may not all know each other's names, but we know this, that we are gathered together as His people. We just broke bread together. We just shared the cup together. We communed, so to speak, around a figurative table for the purpose of remembering Him who has united us all as one. That's the reason why. When I come to the epistles, the letters, the portion of the New Testament that speaks the most frequently about us as brothers and sisters, I begin to see that the New Testament-inspired authors encourage us to relate to one another in warm, close ways. You know what that means? It's holy kiss time. Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Pucker up, right? I mean, this is what we kind of think about. And I've known some church ladies who have taken the holy kiss rather literally, haven't you? Perhaps this would be a better representation of what we're talking about, because best I can tell, the holy kiss was a means of salutation. It was a warm greeting. It was, in a very morally chaste, virtuous, upright way, a physical touch of connection, a realization that we belong to one another. And this isn't something only for a certain few. It's not limited to the leadership. It's not limited to the initiated. It's not limited to the people who have been around the longest. It's not limited to the people who I relate to a little more than others or whose names I know. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brothers with a holy kiss, that everybody is involved in this greeting. Listen, you don't have the right to snub your family members. You don't have the right to look at other people who are in the family of Jesus. Jesus says they belong. And for you to say, no, you don't. We're a family. We're united. And this idea of being a family not only makes disunity unthinkable, but also calls us and challenges us to think the best about one another. Whatever is pure, whatever is virtuous, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. It means that I want to be engaged, yes, in the challenging task, but in the task nonetheless of expressing my affection toward you visibly and tangibly, of learning your name. John says in 3 John verse 15, greet the brothers by name. That was his sentiment to them. And yet, isn't it a good challenge for you and for me? When we see each other in the congregation or at the grocery store, that we'll exchange a greeting. When there's an empty seat next to them, that we'll sit there. When we pass each other in the hallway or on the sidewalk, that we'll greet them. When we'll extend a hand onto a shoulder or into a handshake or a friendly hug. That we'll reach out again and again with a closeness that publicly affirms that we are His family. The epistles encourage us over and over to consider each other, and in so doing, to build this bond together of a family. For example, the Bible tells us to encourage spiritual maturity in each other. I'm just going to read a few portions of some passages, and I don't have time this morning to cite them all, but I think they'll sound familiar to many of us. Build up one another, admonish one another, speaking the truth in love, so lovingly speaking to each other. Speak to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Exhort one another. Stir up one another to love and good works. Pray for one another. See, we're encouraging each other towards spiritual maturity. This is beyond the hi, how are doing, how you doing, good to see you, have a great week. This is digging into trying to encourage us and see what we've been doing this morning. Let me tell you students something, and you parents who are guests of your students today. This Henderson Church is a great church. And when you're gone, it's great. And when you're here, it's great. But we've been looking forward to you coming today because we knew we were going to be encouraged by your presence. We knew your smiles and your excitement was going to help us worship God today. We knew that your voices would stir us to love and good works, both to God and toward each other through our singing. We knew that maybe for some in this room, we'd need to put an arm around and weep with those who are about to weep as they leave their child behind and they return back home. We encourage each other towards spiritual maturity. But secondly, we also work to meet our temporal needs. As brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's what we ought to do. We care for one another, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We serve one another in love, Galatians 5. We bear one another's burdens. We comfort one another, 2 Corinthians 13, 11. We show hospitality to one another, 1 Peter 4, verse 9. And we also respond to each other in a loving way, forgiving one another, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, being patient with each other, submitting to one another, confessing our sins one to another, James 5, verse 16. And as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we sympathize with each other. We share in our joys and our sorrows to the point that the joy of another actually becomes my own joy. And the pain of another, in a sense, becomes my own pain. Rejoice with those who rejoice, Romans 12, 15. And weep with those who weep. See, life in God's family has concrete, specific implications for every day of our lives. If you've ever cared for a family member, you know that it's not always peaches and cream and sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes there are difficulties. Any mother of toddlers will tell you that. Any adult child who is caring for an aging parent will tell you that. And loving the local church isn't any different. But mind you, this isn't something we get to opt out of. This isn't the library booster club. This isn't the PTA. When things get tough, we have to dig in. When things get tough, we have to love and sympathize, and rejoice, and weep. We're obligated toward personal sacrifice, not insisting on our own way, but opening our hearts and opening our doors and pulling up another chair to the dinner table and adding another name to our prayer list and giving food or groceries, giving furniture, giving smiles, sharing grief, sharing discouragements, always sharing love. And sometimes this means we'll have less money than we would have had. And sometimes that means we'll have less time than we would have had. Perhaps it means that we'll have a few more stressors or sorrows. But it always means that we'll add greater joy. See, we're part of a family. More than that, we're part of His family. We are His family. And what makes us unique as a family of people, what accentuates that anthem that we just sang together, born again, on our way home, is Him. We're His family. And so the longer we spend time with Him and with others who follow Him, the more we'll begin to look like Him, act like Him. And that's really the goal. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Those whom He, God, foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. See, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 through 18 describes Jesus as looking at us and not being ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Wait a minute. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. How could anybody look at me, the person who sacrificed on my behalf, and look at me and say, He's my brother? How could anybody like Jesus look at you, sisters, and say, She's my sister? See, I know what we've done, and I know how great He is. He looks at us, and He says, He's not ashamed to call us His family. Sometimes we're ashamed of each other. I hope they don't find out I go to church with those people. Oh, look, there's my preacher. Let's go down the other aisle at Walmart. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to run into him. I don't want to see what's going on. I don't want the awkward interaction. Oh, you know what? That person looks familiar. I think they sit on the other side of the auditorium, but I don't know their name. And I'd rather just avoid them right now because that's going to be embarrassing if I can't go up and call their name. What if they know mine and I don't know theirs? Sometimes we're more ashamed of each other than Jesus is of us. Jesus looks at us and He says, These are my brothers and my sisters. And why is it that He can say that? Well, in part, because He's increasingly being formed in us. Every day we're looking more and more like Him. Galatians 4:19 says, Until Christ is formed in you. That's what this is about. He willingly identifies with us because our identity is found in Him. And this is why the church is so important. Let me encourage you returning and new students with something. Boy, across the street, you are so blessed because you're going to learn and receive a fantastic education in a quality environment from brothers and sisters in Jesus. But Freed Hardeman isn't a church family like plugging into a congregation is. Yes, we're family in Jesus, but you need this. Or wherever you find on Sundays and Wednesdays and in between to plug in and to serve Jesus. Yes, give yourselves to academic pursuits. Yes, fellowship with each other and do that in a Christian way. Absolutely, attend the devotionals and get the most out of your Bible classes. But come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, make sure that you are assembling with God's people. Because the point is that we all together, old and young, help each other to be shaped more into the image of Christ. What makes us a family? No. Who makes us a family? It's Jesus. I love His church because we are His family. Can I read it again? Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Oh, wonderful. My Savior, who's not ashamed to look at me and to say, I want him, I want her in my family. I want him or her to have a place at my table. I want him and her to wear my, or her to wear my name. Wonderful. How? How do I get into Christ? How do I get into his family? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. May I invite you this morning, if you're not a Christian, to come share in Christ's family. Based on your faith and your willingness to repent of sins and to confess his sweet name, be buried with him, baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Rise to walk in a new life and to be added to a wonderful, global family in Jesus. If there's someone among us this morning whose faith is weak, or maybe even you're slipping, you're faltering under the weight of sin, we're family. You can bring that kind of stuff before us as we really bring all that to God and ask forgiveness and restoration and strength and offer encouragement. And right now we have an opportunity to respond to heaven, to God, to Jesus, and to do so in the presence of family. And if we can help, we'd be honored to assist as you come forward while we stand and sing.